Don't touch that dial. It's time for the Chrysler Air Temp Program. Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. The makers of Chrysler Air Temp, air conditioning for the home, for business, and for industry, bring you Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. Written by Phil Leslie and starring Jim Jordan, Chuck Shaden, great voices from radio's golden age, and me, Larry Thor. Tonight you'll hear again great sounds from not so long ago. Sounds from those golden days when radio was radio and every night a new adventure. So come with us for the next hour as we visit once again with Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. This year at Air Temp, we're celebrating a mighty important event in air conditioning history, our 40th anniversary. Yes, Air Temp started cooling people way back in 1934. That's when Walter P. Chrysler put the finishing touches on his famous Chrysler building in New York City. And one of those touches was central air conditioning, the first of its kind in a modern skyscraper. Engineered and built by Chrysler. Air Temp's been at it ever since. Cooling everything under the sun. Homes, schools, offices, factories, every kind of building and every kind of room in every kind of climate. And all through the years, from 1934 to 1974, Air Temp has put something into air conditioning nobody else can. Chrysler Engineering. It all adds up to the most modern air conditioning. Quiet, efficient, dependable. That's why, despite all the changes 40 years can bring, Air Temp quality is still the finest. Choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence. Take one Super Heterodyne radio, 1934 vintage, add one Chuck Shaden, a super radio fan, similar vintage, mix well with the McGee theory of vintage radio, and what do you have? Well, let's find out. We take you now to 79 Wistful Vista, where we find a big old-fashioned radio with a rooftop aerial and 10 tubes in the tinkering hands of a man with 10 thumbs.
Wow! Dead rat, the dead rat.
Yep, the squire of Wistful Vista himself, Fibber McGee.
Doggone it, this old radio used to work great. I'll get it working again, too, if it's the last thing I... Come in.
Excuse me, is this 79 Wistful Vista?
That it is, bud. What can I do for you?
Well, are you Fibber McGee?
Well, I sure hope so. I've been paying his taxes all my life. What's on your mind?
Well, my name is Chuck Shaden, and I'm a student
of... A student, huh? Well, I'm sorry, Sonny. We got all the magazine subscriptions we need. So why don't you just...
No. I was going to say I'm a student of the good old days of radio.
Well, I don't need any more radios, too, either. I already got one of the greatest old radios ever built.
Well, old radio is what I wanted to talk to you about, Mr. McGee.
Oh?
You see, I grew up with radio.
Is that so?
I spent the first half of my life listening to all those good old shows, but now all I can do is read about them because they're not on radio anymore. They're all gone.
Ha ha, that's what everybody thinks. But those old shows are not all gone, not at all. They're still around, if you know how to tune them in.
Still around?
You betcha. Here, take a look at this.
Oh, I saw that the minute I came in. It's a beauty.
This, my boy, is a genuine original 1934 10-tube Super Heterodyne console model radio. In the flesh.
Yeah, but can you get it to work?
Can I get it to work, he says. For your information, Chick.
Chuck.
I probably forgot more about fixing radios than old Macaroni ever knew.
You have?
Yeah. And if I could just remember some, but I'll get this baby going again. You see, according to the McGee theory of radio dynametrics...
Radio dyna what?
Metrics. The McGee theory states, and I quote, that old radio shows never die. They're just in a holding pattern. You see, this old radio is just jam full of old radio programs, all condensed in the condenser and waiting to come out through the loudspeaker.
Well, how can that be?
Why, very simple. You see, when this old radio was new, there were maybe 20 different programs being beamed into it from 20 different stations all at once at the same time, right?
Well, yes, but I...
But only one of the programs could get out through the loudspeaker at a time, you see. So, those other 19 programs, they're still in there. And if I can get this tuner tuned in right, we ought to be able to hear some of them right now.
Well, that's an interesting theory, all right, but
I thought you'd like it.
You mean to say that you can get all the old radio shows on this Super Heterodyne here?
Old radio shows never die, boy. They're just in a holding pattern.
Well, if that's true, then I want to hear those great old shows from the 30s and 40s again, but...
Well, stick around, boy. You're gonna. Now, let me see. If I hook up the audio tube with the Bodio tube and connect the rodeo with the Bodio, that ought to fill up the filter and... Ah, that's it. Listen to that baby hum. Okay, what do you want to hear?
What do I want to hear? I want to hear everything. All right, now, if that radio can produce like you say it can, then I want to listen to Sunday night.
Oh, Sunday night.
At our house, we used to have dinner and listen to Jack Benny at the same time every Sunday night.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I'd like to hear again, the Jack Benny program.
Okay, I'll set the tuner here for Sunday, feed a few kilocycles into Franistat, and twist the Twombly to evening time, and flip the areola switch, and... Ah, there.
Now, remember, Jack Benny was always on at 7 o'clock out in the east and at 6 o'clock in the Midwest, and out on the West Coast, he was on at 4 o'clock. Now, I hope that doesn't throw your tuning off.
If anything throws my tuning off, boy, I'll throw it right back on again. Ah, listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we had rehearsal. About noon, Jack, Phil, Dennis, and I walked across the street to the corner drugstore for some lunch.
Gee, the drugstore's crowded today.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't take too long.
Hey, Murph, you got a table for us?
No, but there'll be one empty in a minute. Would you mind waiting?
No, but bring a chair for the old man. He walked all the way across the street.
Stop being funny. For your information, Phil, every morning right after breakfast, I walk 5 miles all over Beverly Hills.
Why do you do that, Jack?
He's collecting rent.
That's only on the first of the month.
Hey, look, Jackson, as long as we have to wait, I want to buy some things at the drug counter. Will you hold a seat for me?
Okay.
Well, what can I do for you, Mr. Harris?
Look, I want a large tube of toothpaste, some aspirin, a bottle of mouthwash, and a box of bobby pins.
Yes, sir. What color is your wife's hair?
Blonde, but she buys her own.
Very good, Mr. Harris. Will there be anything else?
Yeah, now, let me see. I better get some cough drops. I've had a tickling in my throat since last night.
Maybe it's a piece of cork. Now, what kind of cough drops do you want?
Oh, I don't care. Just give me a box of those that are made right here in L.A.
L.A.?
Yeah, it says so right on the box. Los Angeles.
That's lozenges.
Your table is ready, Mr. Benny.
Okay, I'll get the others. Phil!
Right here, Jackson.
Dennis!
Oh, just a second, Mr. Benny. I'm weighing myself.
How much do you weigh, Dennis?
370 pounds.
370 pounds?
I invited Don to be my guest.
Well, what good is... Oh, never mind. Come on, kid. Let's get to the table. Hey, Mervyn, we're in a hurry to get back to rehearsal, so give us quick service, please.
Yes, Mr. Benny, I'll take the orders myself.
Good. What'll you have, fellas?
I'll have a chicken sandwich on rye bread.
Yes, sir.
You, Mr. Wilson?
I'll have a small glass of tomato juice and a slice of whole wheat toast.
Don? Son, is that all you're eating?
Yeah, Jack, I'm on a diet, and that's all I've had for 3 full days.
Dennis, where are you going?
When he's that hungry, I don't want to be close to him.
Oh, sit down.
Yes, sir.
What do you have, Mr. Day?
I'll have a cucumber split.
A cucumber split? What in the name of Duncan Hines is that?
Well, it's like a banana split, only you use a cucumber.
Dennis, ice cream on a cucumber? That must taste awful.
Oh, not if you peel it.
Well, his answer was all right. Maybe my question was silly. How he can eat that, I don't know.
What do you have, Mr. Penny?
Let's see. I want to look at the sandwich list. Hamburger, cheeseburger, chicken burger, onion burger, turkey burger, chili burger, Max burger. Max burger? What's that?
That's a proprietor.
what to order.
Why don't you try a cucumber split?
Dennis, if I live to be 100, I'll never eat a thing like that. It sounds horrible.
If you haven't tried it, don't knock it.
Mervyn, I'll have a bacon and tomato sandwich.
Yes, sir. What do you gentlemen have to drink?
Coffee for me.
I'll have a Coca-Cola.
Bring me 3 fingers of milk.
Phil, 3 fingers of milk?
I'm on the wagon, but I don't want to forget how to order.
Oh.
By the way, Jackson, Remley asked me to thank you for the raise you gave him.
That's all right, Phil. Anytime your music is improved, I appreciate it.
Why, Jack, what'd Frankie do?
He broke his arm and he can't play. What a nice guy.
How'd Frankie break his arm, Phil?
Well, we were having a little party at Bagby's house, and it was a warm night, so Frankie ran out and took a dive in the pool.
Oh, no water in the pool, eh?
No pool.
Well, no wonder he broke his arm.
He didn't do that till the third dive.
What?
He swam around the backyard like a mole.
Thanks. Now, let's eat fast, kid, so we can get back to rehearsal.
Well, Jack, look who's walking over here.
Why, it's Mr. Kitzel.
Hello, Mr. Bing.
Sit down, Mr. Kitzel. Have some lunch with us.
No, thank you. I ate already. I had the blue plate special. Hoo-hoo. A bargain.
You mean you didn't like it?
Who could like it? Such small portions they give you. 6 green beans, 2 potato chips, and a piece of steak. J. Edgar Hoover couldn't find it.
Well, that's too bad.
Too bad. If it wasn't for the dessert, your whole meal would be awful.
Oh, what'd you have for dessert?
A cucumber split.
So you didn't... Well, maybe it's good. I don't know.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Benny. I got to run along now. I got to pick up my boy and take him to his scout meeting.
Oh, your son a boy scout?
Is he a boy scout? You know, only 2 weeks ago he joined, and when I asked him, what did you learn, he rubbed together 2 sticks and burned down the whole house.
Burned down the house?
Uh-huh. When the firemen came, he helped them across the street.
No.
Uh-huh, and with his little knife, he carved, be prepared, in their fire hose.
Oh, Mr. Kitzel, you're joking.
My. Well, goodbye, Mr. Benny.
So long, Mr. Kitzel. Well, fellas, we better get going, too. We got a lot of rehearsing to do.
Here's your check, gentlemen.
Oh, I'll take it, fellas. I think it's my turn.
No, Dennis, it's my turn.
No, Phil, it's my turn.
No, Don, it's Phil's turn. I keep track of these things. Now, come on, let's go. Dennis, what are you doing at the jukebox?
Well, one of my songs is on it, and I want to play it.
Well, go ahead, and then come right.
How about that? I told you I could do it.
I can't believe it, Mr. McGee. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It was great hearing Jack Benny again. You know, I never missed a single one of his programs. I never missed a single one of Mom's Sunday Suppers either.
They both came on at the same time, did they?
Sure. If you remember, Jack Benny was always on at the same time. Even later in the 40s, when he switched networks, he had it in his contract that his show would always be on at the same time on Sunday night.
And it seems to me Benny had some pretty stiff competition on Sundays for a while there, too. Wasn't Eddie Cantor on Sunday nights?
With Park Your Carcass, that's right.
Yeah.
That was about 1936. Cantor had a darn good show, and he and Benny fought it out for a while, but Jack was so popular they had to move Eddie Cantor to another night of the week.
Say, how come you know so much about all this? You don't look old enough.
Oh, I told you, I read a lot.
Well, I guess switching Cantor to another night was kind of a break for Eddie at that. Gave him a chance to listen to the Benny show. I remember the first time I heard Jack Benny. Must have been around 1932. He hadn't even had his first 39th birthday then.
And you're just a kid, huh?
Yep. Hey, you know what? I think it'd be a nice idea if I'd call old Jack on the phone right now. Told him we just heard him on the radio. Kind of bolster him up in his old age.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah, hand me the phone.
Here.
Thanks. Hello, operator. Give me Jack Benny's house at Crestview 964. Oh, is that you, Mert?
Oh, I'll be. I always thought Mert was a fictitious character.
Well, how's every little thing, Mert? Tis, eh? What's say, Mert? Your sister? Miss America, huh?
She win the contest?
No, Mert's sister was invited to spend her vacation in Europe, but she didn't go. Scared she'd miss America. What's say, Mert? Okay, I'll try later. Many don't answer. Probably taking a fiddle lesson and don't want to be... Come in.
Hello, pal.
Well, if it ain't Larry Thor. Larry, say hello to Chuck Shaden. He's a new-time, old-time radio fan.
Hi, Chuck. Say hello to my pal, Coolbert.
Hello, Coolbert. Pull up a chair and keep quiet. What brings you two guys here tonight, Larry?
We're on our way down to the radio station, pal, doing a commercial for the people at Chrysler Air Temp tonight.
No kidding.
And I thought I'd sort of preview it for you, and maybe you'd give me a few tips.
Well, I'd like to help you, but I'm busy with this old radio right now, so...
If this summer is anything like last summer, a lot of homeowners are going to want to make life easier with the cool comfort of Chrysler Air Temp whole house air conditioning. And I consider it my sacred duty to tell them about the equipment Chrysler Air Temp is offering this year to make that possible.
Well, that's very noble of you now, Breezy. And when I get a little free time here, I'll be glad to...
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned free, pal. I want to tell people how easy it is to arrange for a free home cooling survey.
Oh, boy.
Just call your local Chrysler Air Temp dealer and he'll take care of it.
Fine, fine, fine. Now, if you got to rush off, it's okay by me. On because I and Chuck here got other things to listen to. This little radio here is 40 years old.
40 years old? What a fantastic coincidence.
Huh?
Because Chrysler Air Temp is 40 years old, too.
Oh, sure.
And right now, during Air Temp's 40th anniversary, you can get fine values in whole house air conditioning. You'd be surprised how little the equipment costs.
You wouldn't kid an old kid, or would you, kid?
Oh, absolutely not, pal. Your local Air Temp dealer can prove it. And besides that, he offers the only air conditioner with Chrysler engineering.
Imagine that there.
Chrysler takes extra care in engineering to give you extra comfort in your home or place of business. Get a free home cooling survey, Air Temp 40th anniversary values, and Chrysler engineering. Three outstanding reasons to choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence.
Whoa, 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 careful there, bud. Don't get carried away there. We'll have to ask your friend here to carry you away. Say, who is this guy, anyhow?
Coolbert?
Yeah.
Well, he's my helper.
Oh.
He keeps track of the names and phone numbers of Chrysler Air Temp dealers for me, so when anybody asks where they can buy the finest air conditioning, I just say, Coolbert, tell the people where to find their local Air Temp dealer. And he says,
in Overland Park, Kansas, the Air Temp dealer for you to call is Trogue Nichols Service at area code 913-888-2101. In Blue Springs, Missouri, call Giacomo Sheet Metal, area code 816-229-1809. And in Kansas City, Missouri, call Carter Refrigeration at 816-444-8221.
How about that?
Very efficient, Breezy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hadn't you better run on down to the radio station and get your commercial on the air?
Right now. So long, fellas, and thanks for the help.
Well, glad we got that guy cooled off. Now let me get this old radio warmed up again. It's still set for Sunday.
You know, I remember a lot of Sunday shows from those days, like the Fitch Bandwagon. Laugh a while, let a song be your style, use Fitch shampoo.
Yeah. Don't despair, use your head, save your hair, use Fitch shampoo.
There are a lot of musical shows on Sunday night back in those days. There was Phil Spitalny and the All-Girl Orchestra. Remember Evelyn and her magic violin?
Oh, sure.
Hey, you know a show I used to look forward to? Take It or Leave It with Phil Baker.
I'll say I do. That was the first of the big money quiz shows. The $64 question.
That used to be a lot of money, huh?
Don't knock it. Them days, if you had $64, you had $64. Not 39 cents and a thank you note from the Income Tax Bureau. I don't know what the government does
with
all the... I've
got a quiz-type question for you, Mr. McGee. What was everybody's favorite mystery program on Sunday afternoon?
Oh, I love a mystery.
Wrong.
What do you mean, wrong? I don't know if I like mysteries or not.
No, I thought you were talking about the radio show called I Love a Mystery. That was on every night, late at night.
Yeah, I know. I listen to Jack, Doc, and Reggie all the time.
Did you know that Tony Randall once played Reggie in that series?
Tony Randall, the big star?
That's the one.
The same guy that later on him and Wally Cox played in that big TV show, Mr. Peepers, together?
The very same guy.
How about that? From Reggie on radio to Mr. Peepers on TV. He sure turned up an odd couple of programs, didn't he? Did you get it? You probably didn't understand that joke, because my humor's kind of sophisticated. You see...
Don't explain, Mr. McGee. Okay. Actually, the mystery show I was talking about was The Shadow.
Oh, yeah, The Shadow. Let's see if I can't get him on this old radio here somewhere. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
What was that?
Oh, thank you. And who would that be? Who just talked?
I think you've heard of me as the Shadow.
The Shadow?
Yes. I thought you'd know me.
What are you doing here?
I've come to put an end to your evil doing.
What do you mean by that?
I'm aware of the work that both of you have done tonight. You already have sent two men to face death in that rat hole.
Oh, no. No
way. And your son, even now, has a boatload of stolen goods planted beneath this house.
You're crazy.
I arrived here just in time to prevent you from sending that girl to her doom as well. I think you know that sound well enough to realize the police will be up here any minute.
He's right, and you're to blame, Ma.
Oh, no,
yes, with your petty larceny nickel grabbing, you ruin everything.
You'd better prepare to give yourselves up. There'll be no escape.
No, we can still get out of here.
Not with the police at your front door, you can't.
There's more ways than one of getting out of this joint, Shadow. And you and nobody else is stopping us, see?
We put out the light.
Yeah, that's right, sister. Now all of us are on even terms. Come on, Ma, we're making a break for the boat.
That was quick thinking, son. Where are you now?
Over here by the door.
Well, Mr. Shadow, you ain't so smart after all, are you? We're getting out!
Ma! What happened, Ma?
Hold him through the trap door.
Oh, no.
Ma, you all right?
Hurry, Sonny, the rat. The rat just come out. I can feel him on my face.
Here, I'm reaching down for you, Ma. Try to grab my hand.
Sonny. Yeah, this light should help.
Reach for my hand, Ma.
Don't lean so far over the edge. You'll fall, too.
That's it, Ma. You've got my hand now.
Oh, Sonny.
Hey, Ma. Don't yank so hard on my arm, Ma. Ma, you're pulling me.
Did you know that one of the original actors to play the Shadow was Orson Welles?
Yes, and did you know that Agnes Moorehead once played Margot Lane, his constant companion?
She did?
Why, sure. And while they were working together on the Shadow, they were also working together on the Mercury Theater on the Air.
Hey, that's the one where the Martians invaded the Earth.
That's right. Orson Welles' War of the Worlds broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
That was a Sunday night back in 1938. You know, he did it like a real news broadcast and had the country in a panic.
Yeah, people were pretty silly in them days. Imagine getting that upset over a silly radio show.
Listen, it was really grim. They announced that the Martians had landed in New Jersey and were heading west, and the Air Force was helpless.
Of course, I only heard the first 10 minutes of it. I was too busy to sit around listening to the radio.
Well, how could you turn it off?
I didn't turn it off. By the time I got a month's supply of groceries, 20 gallons of drinking water, and all the blankets into the cyclone cellar, got the door bolted, I remembered I'd left the radio in the house. I wasn't about to go after it with all them little green men flying around.
We take you now to Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Carl Phillips again, out at the Wilmot Farm, Grover's Mill, New Jersey. Professor Pearson and myself made the 11 miles from Princeton in 10 minutes. Well, I hardly know where to begin. Thanks for your word picture of a strange scene before my eyes. That's nothing out of a modern Arabian night. Well, I just got here. I haven't had a chance to look around yet. I guess that's it. Yes, I guess that's the thing directly in front of me. Half buried in a vast pit. Must have struck with terrific force. The ground is covered with splinters of a tree. It must have struck on its way down. But I can see the object itself doesn't look very much like a meteor. At least not the meteors I've seen. It looks more like a huge cylinder. Has a diameter of, what would you say, Professor Pearson?
What's that?
What would you say, what's the diameter of this?
About 30 yards.
About 30 yards. The metal on the sheath is, well, I've never seen anything like it. The color is sort of yellowish white. It's curious. Spectators now are pressing close to the object in spite of the efforts of the police to keep them back. Getting in front of my line of vision. Would you mind standing one side, please, while the police are pushing the crowd back? Here's Mr. Wilmoth, owner of the farm here. He may have some interesting facts to add. Mr. Wilmoth, would you please tell the radio audience as much as you remember of this rather unusual visitor that dropped in your backyard? Step closer, please. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Wilmoth.
Well, I was listening to the radio.
Closer and louder, please.
Pardon me?
Louder, please, closer.
Yes. I was listening to the radio and kind of drowsing. That professor fellow was talking about Mars, so I was half dozing and half...
Yes, yes, Mr. Wilmoth, and then what happened?
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio kind of halfway.
Yes, Mr. Wilmoth, and then you saw something.
Well, not first off. I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this. Kind of like a 4th of July rocket.
Yes, then what?
I turned my head out the window and would have sworn I was asleep and dreaming.
Yes?
I seen a kind of greenish streak and then zingo. Something smacked the ground, knocked me clear out of my chair.
Well, were you frightened, Mr. Wilmoth?
Well, I ain't quite sure. I reckon I was kind of riled.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wilmoth. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you want me to talk
No, that's quite all right. That's plenty. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard Mr. Wilmoth, owner of the farm, where this thing has fallen. I wish I could convey the atmosphere, the background of this fantastic scene. Hundreds of cars are parked in the field in back of us, and the police are trying to rope off the roadway leading into the farm, but it's no use. They're breaking right through. Cars' headlights throw an enormous spotlight on the pit where the object's half buried. Now, some of the more daring souls now are venturing near the edge. The silhouette stand out against the metal sheen. One man wants to touch the thing. He's having an argument with the policeman. Now, the policeman wins. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something I haven't mentioned in all this excitement, but it's becoming more distinct. Perhaps you've caught it already on your radio. Listen, please. Do you hear it? It's a curious humming sound that seems to come from inside the object.
Right.
I'll move the microphone nearer. Here. Now, we're not more than 25 feet away. Can you hear it now? Professor Pearson.
Yes, Mr. Wilmoth.
Can you tell us the meaning of that scraping noise inside the thing?
Possibly the unequal cooling of its surface.
I say, do you still think it's a meteor, Professor?
I don't know what to think. The metal casing is definitely extraterrestrial. Not found on this Earth. Friction with the Earth's atmosphere usually tears holes in a meteorite. This thing is smooth and you can see its cylindrical
just a
shape.
Minute. Something's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, this is terrific. This end of the thing is beginning to flake off. The top is beginning to rotate like a screw, and the thing must be hollow.
He's moving! Look at that!
Something I can see turning out of that black hole through luminous discs. The eyes, it might be a face, might be almost... heavens, something wriggling out of the shadow like a gray snake. Now it's another one and another one and another one. They look like tentacles to me. I can see the thing's body. Now it's large, as large as a bear. It's glistening like wet leather, but that face, ladies and gentlemen, it's indescribable. I can hardly force myself to keep looking at it. It's so awful. The eyes are black and they gleam like a serpent. The mouth is a kind of V-shape with saliva dripping from its rimless lips. It seems to quiver and pulsate. And the monster or whatever it is can hardly move. It seems weighed down by possibly gravity or something. The thing's rising up now and the crowd falls back. It seems plenty. The most extraordinary experience, ladies and gentlemen. I can't find words. Well, I'll pull this microphone with me as I talk. I'll have to stop the description so I can take a new position. Hold on, will you, please? I'll be right back in a minute.
We are
are bringing you an eyewitness account of what's happening on the Wilmoth Farm, Grover's Mill, New Jersey. We now return you to Carl Phillips at Grover's Mill.
Ladies and gentlemen, my aunt. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, here I am, back of a stone wall that adjoins Mr. Wilmer's garden. From here, I get a sweep of the whole scene. I'll give you every detail as long as I can talk and as long as I can see. More state police have arrived. They're drawing up a cordon in front of the pit. About 30 of them. No need to push the crowd back now. They're willing to keep their distance. The captain conferring with someone. Can't quite see who. Ah, yes, I believe it's Professor Pearson. Yes, it is. Now they've parted, and the professor moves around one side, studying the object while the captain and two policemen advance with something in their hands. I can see it now. It's a white handkerchief tied to a pole. Flag of truce. If those creatures know what that means, what anything means. Wait a minute. Something's happening. Some shape is rising out of the pit. I can make out a small beam of light against a mirror. What's that? There's a jet of flame springing from the mirror, and it leaps right at the advancing men. It strikes them head on. Lord, they're turning into flames. They're field caught by the woods as far as the gas tanks of the automobiles spreading everywhere. Coming this way now, about 20 yards to my right.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast from Grover's Mill. Evidently, there's some difficulty with our field transmission. However, we will return to that point at the earliest opportunity. In the meantime, we have a late bulletin from San Diego, California. Professor Indelkoffer, speaking at a dinner of the California Astronomical Society, expressed the opinion that the explosions on Mars are undoubtedly nothing more than severe volcanic disturbances on the surface of the planet. We continue now with our piano interlude.
That Orson Welles had half the country scared to death.
Half the country?
Why, sure, because the other half was listening to Charlie McCarthy. Remember that? He and Bergen were on at exactly the same time on Sunday, opposite War of the Worlds.
Yeah, that was a great show. They had Don Ameche, Mortimer Snerd, W.C. Fields. Yeah. Charlie got so popular, he even ran for president one time. Did you know that?
I voted for him.
Oh, go on, you weren't old enough to vote,
Chuck. Well, Charlie wasn't old enough to be president either, but he got my vote.
He had a lot of qualifications for the job. Had a good, solid head on him, for one thing. Solid mahogany, I think it was.
I'd love to hear that show again. Hey, do you think you can get it on that radio of yours?
Well, it's bouncing around in this old set someplace. If I can just get it out.
Mr. Bergen?
Yes?
Mr. Bergen?
Yes, Charlie?
What have you got under your arm?
That's a book, Charlie.
A book?
Yes.
It's a fat one, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Is it the book of the month?
No, it isn't. No, I've had this book ever since I was 8 years old.
Is that so?
Yes.
Certainly read slow, don't you?
No.
What's it about, Baggett?
Well, it's the story of Oliver Twist. Of course, you know Oliver Twist, don't you?
Know him?
Yes.
I'm the guy that straightened him out. Now, wait a minute.
No, Charlie, no. This is Oliver Twist, and it's by Charles Dickens.
Oh, you said Oliver Twist.
Yes, I know. Dickens wrote Oliver Twist.
Oh, did Twist write Dickens?
No. Twist is by Dickens.
Oh, Twist is by Dickens.
Yes.
By Dickens.
Yes.
By golly, that's good, isn't it?
Charlie, would you like to hear the story?
The story?
Yes.
Would you tell it?
Yes.
Would you like to hear it? No,
I didn't. Nevertheless, I shall tell it anyway.
I knew we'd get it.
Yes. You know, Oliver Twist is required reading.
Yes, but it's not required listening.
Oh. Now, once upon a time, there was a little boy named Oliver Twist. How he got his name is very interesting.
He was a pretzel bender.
No, he... No. I'll tell you how he got his name. Oliver was an orphan, born in a workhouse.
Born in a clink.
Yes, in a clink. Yes.
He got off to a good start, didn't he?
Yes.
Anything he did from that point on was an improvement.
Yes, yes. Well, he spent several years in the workhouse.
Uh-huh. I know, and then he sold newspapers.
No. Then he grew up and he became president.
He did not.
Vice president.
No, no, not even vice president.
It was a flop.
No, no.
Would you mind letting me tell the story?
Go ahead, go ahead. I'm so sorry. Yes.
Really, I'm sorry. That's all right.
Now, Oliver was given that name by the beadle of the town, Mr. Bumble.
Oh, Bumble Beadle, the bagel bender. Now...
Charlie, are you going to let me tell the story?
Oh, go ahead, all right.
Somebody has to get laughs.
I am not interested in laughs.
Thinking of retiring?
No, I'm not. Well, Mr. Bumble named the orphan children in alphabetical order. And when Oliver was born, Bumble had reached the T's.
DT's?
No, not DT's. the letter T.
Oh, the letter T.
Yes. And the boy ahead of him, of course, was named after S, or he was called Scubble.
Scubble.
Yes. And Oliver was named after T, your twist.
Uh-huh.
Now, following T, of course, the next boy will be named after you.
How did I get mixed up in this?
No, I mean the letter U.
Oh, the letter U.
Yes. Yes.
He sure was stuck when it came to X.
Oh, I don't know.
Huh?
He could call him Xavier.
Oh, yeah. What comes after X?
Oh, Y.
I just thought I'd ask.
No.
Why? Why? Yes.
And nevertheless, his name was Oliver Twist.
You're set on that.
I'm very definite about that.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah. And after spending several years at the workhouse, Oliver was released. And he fell into the arms or into the company of this man named Fagin.
Fagin?
Yes.
What did he do?
Well, Fagin was a conniving character.
Oh, he was?
Yes. A despicable person who, for his own personal gains, would force young boys to make a living for him.
Was his first name Edgar?
No, well, no.
That burns him up.
All right. Now, Fagin taught these boys how to pick pockets and steal handkerchiefs.
Well, there couldn't be much money in stealing snozzle dusters now.
Well, later on, you see, he taught them to sneak up behind their victims, and while they were otherwise absorbed by, he would pick valuables from their pockets. Now, of course, you know that's wrong. That's very wrong.
Yes, the best way is to bump into them
accidentally.
No. I always work that way.
Yeah. So one dark night...
Does it have to be dark?
It does. And it was raining, too.
Oh, that's
perfect. Yes. One night, Fagin sent two of his men out to rob Mrs. Maley's house.
Yeah?
And they took Oliver with them because they needed a little boy too small to crawl through a window.
Oh, what?
I mean, a little boy small enough.
You've got Oliver twisted.
Yes, sir. They needed a boy small enough to crawl through a window.
Well, I'm glad you figured it out.
Yes.
Suppose you sit on my knee.
No, no. I'm doing all right. Don't worry about me.
Oh. You just hold your lips still. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
You're not fooling me.
All right.
I know where it comes from.
They're all right.
The great ventriloquist. You went out with a bustle.
All right. Now, where was I?
I don't know. You were laying an egg.
No, no. Well, anyway, as I said, they wanted a small boy to crawl through the window.
Oh, he's still there.
Yes, yes. But the burglars, they were discovered, and Oliver was shot halfway through the window.
That's very painful. Yeah. There's nothing more sensitive.
There. Poor Oliver was badly hurt, and Bill Sykes...
How did he get in?
All right.
This is a cavalcade.
Yes. He was one of the gang.
Well, I'm glad to meet him.
Yes. Bill Sykes carried him out and left him on the roadside in the rain to die.
Oh.
Yes. But Oliver didn't die.
Stubborn kid.
Yes, yes. Next morning, Oliver crawled back to the house of Mrs. Maley.
And robbed it again.
No. No, he went back to explain what had happened, how he'd been framed.
Yeah.
And what do you think happened?
They shot him in the other window.
No. You don't be careful, Charlie. I won't even finish this story.
No?
No.
That's an inducement.
Yeah. Now, anyway, he explained to Mrs. Maley, of course, and Oliver was forgiven. Fagin's gang was rounded up and jailed, and the boy's identity was established.
What boy?
What boy?
Yeah.
What boy?
No, I asked you first.
All right.
Why, the boy I've been telling... The boy I've been telling you about, of course.
What's his name?
Oliver.
Oliver?
Yes.
Oliver who?
Oliver Twist.
Never heard of him.
Oh.
Oh, boy, Charlie's a great little character, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's had a fabulous career, Chuck. Charlie started out in life as just a hunk of wood sitting in a trunk in Bergen's room in Chicago.
I know, but he went on to become world famous, made a lot of money, a lot of friends, too. I guess it's a real American success story, isn't it?
And that's not all. Do you know what Charlie McCarthy's doing right this very minute?
No, what?
He's sitting in a trunk in Bergen's house in Bel Air, counting his money. He must have made... Hey, this old set's still hot. Hey, let me see what else I can get before it cools off, huh?
This year, a lot of smart homeowners would decide to get AirTemp whole house air conditioning.
Oh, him again.
And they couldn't pick a better time than right now, during Chrysler AirTemp's 40th anniversary. Local AirTemp dealers are stocking a complete line of air conditioning systems.
Nobody's got a line like Breezy's got.
In fact, your local dealer has an AirTemp air conditioning system for every budget and cooling need, from 2 to 5 tons.
That's a lot of cool comfort.
And today, when you choose AirTemp, you get the only air conditioner with Chrysler engineering. That's double value. So call your local Chrysler AirTemp dealer for a free home cooling survey. And when you do, you'll get another AirTemp 40th anniversary special, a free rib-tickling record of comedy highlights from the good old days of radio, like you're hearing tonight. To get your free home cooling survey and your free record, call your participating AirTemp dealer now. Colbert, tell the people where to call.
In Kansas City, Missouri, the AirTemp dealer for you to call is Air Cooling and Energy at area code 913-621-5573. In Belton, Missouri, call Woodruff Heating and Cooling at 816-331-4347. And in Blue Springs, Missouri, call Giacomo Sheet Metal, area code 816-229-1809.
You're listening to Fibber McGee and the Good Old Days of Radio, brought to you by Chrysler AirTemp and their thousands of dealers coast to coast. You know, many people still remember the good old days when a dollar was worth every penny. Chrysler AirTemp does. They've seen a lot of hot weather come and go since 1934 when they made their first air conditioner. For 40 years, Chrysler AirTemp has been dedicated to quality in air conditioning. Today's AirTemp home cooling systems reflect this dedication in every detail. There's one for every budget and every cooling need from 2 to 5 tons. And today, when you choose AirTemp, you get the only air conditioner with Chrysler engineering. That's double value. So call your local dealer for a free home cooling survey. In addition, he'll give you a free, rib-tickling record of the good old days of radio. It's a $5.95 value featuring comedy highlights from radio's golden age. To get your free AirTemp home cooling survey and your free record, call your participating AirTemp dealer now. Check the yellow pages under air conditioning and choose Chrysler AirTemp with confidence. Now let's get back to 79 Wistful Vista, where Fibber McGee and super radio fan Chuck Shaden are listening to great old radio programs on Fibber's Great Old Radio.
I'll say one thing for that commercial. It sure cooled off this great old radio. Can't get a thing. I'll just have to let it warm up again.
Mr. McGee, I've been making a list here of shows I'd like to hear again. Remember the Manhattan Merry-Go-Round?
Oh, yeah. That was way back in the early 30s. I remember Ford Bond was one of the announcers, and he used to promise that the top songs would be sung so clearly that listeners could understand every word. Some of the songs I hear these days, you don't want to understand the words.
Well, they're still writing a few good songs today. A lot of the old ones are coming back, too, in new arrangements.
You probably didn't know it, but I used to be a songwriter myself one time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, very few people did. You remember a song called Three Little Fishes?
Well, sure. Did you write that?
No, my song was called Three Little Crawdads. It didn't sell. Too sophisticated, I guess, for the time. And The Shadow that we just heard a while ago, I wrote a theme song for that show once. A great title. I called it The Smile of Your Shadow.
The Smile of Your Shadow? I don't think I ever heard that one.
Well, some guy stole my title. Switched it around backwards and wrote a song called The Shadow of Your Smile.
That one I've heard.
Yeah,
you know what you should have done with your songs, Mr. McGee? You should have gone on Major Bowes Amateur Hour with them. Remember him?
Sure, everybody remembers him. He started back in the 30s, too.
A lot of show business careers were launched on the Amateur Hour.
You're telling me. I and a guy by the name of Fred Nittany from Starved Rock, Illinois, had a Savaudeville act together, and we were on that show one Sunday.
You were? Did it launch you into the big time?
No, it launched us into the alley. Major Bowes said I and Fred didn't come up to their amateur standards.
Oh, that's too bad.
I don't know what he wanted. Me and Fred had been working together for 10 years, and we were as amateur as any of them acts. More so than most.
What are you getting now?
I was thinking about an Oklahoma cowboy that used to do rope tricks on radio. He was one quarter Cherokee Indian and 100% American. And he used to keep those political types in line, too. Sure could use him now.
I bet you mean Will Rogers.
Yep. Let's see if he's in here somewhere yet.
Nothing will upset a state's economic condition like a legislature. It's better to have termites in your house than a legislature. Well, they're in there trying to figure out ways and means. But they're doing pretty good, the legislature. The other day they repealed a law up here where everybody that's married, you know, when you're married, you had to give 3 days' notice. You used to have to in this state give intention of marrying. Well, they did away with that now. That was longer than most of the marriages in California was lasting. So now you don't have to file any intention of marrying at all. In fact, you don't even have to give your right name. Now, according to the new law, you just pay a small amusement tax is all.
Come in.
Hi, pal.
Oh, hi, Breezy.
Well, how'd I do?
How'd you do what?
How'd I come across with my message for Chrysler Air Temp Whole House Air Conditioning?
Oh, that. Well, you did pretty well in some respects.
Yes, yes.
But in others...
What?
You could have been a little more informative, a little more nutsy and boltsy.
How so, pal?
Well, I mean, it isn't every day an outfit like Air Temp has the 40th anniversary. With companies just like people, every year is a whole new story.
Well, you were absolutely right, pal, and I'm glad you brought that up.
I thought you would be.
Because over the past 40 years, Air Temp has pioneered or perfected several basic components of modern air conditioning, including improvements the entire industry now takes for granted.
If they got conditioning, you got the air all right, because...
Take, for instance, the A-frame evaporator coil, which makes possible the compact central air conditioning systems found in modern homes. You know who invented that?
I just can't imagine. Whom?
Air Temp invented the first successful A-frame evaporator coil in 1954. Now, instead of taking up a whole lot of room, home central air conditioning can be tucked out of the way in no more room than this closet right here in your hall.
No, wait. Don't open that door.
Whatever you say, pal. As long as I've convinced you, Air Temp puts something into air conditioning nobody else can.
What's that, he asked, with a merry twinkle in his eye.
Chrysler Engineering, pal. Only Air Temp air conditioning has it, and that means extra care in engineering. That's why we say you can choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence.
Confidence, eh? Can interested homeowners get more information?
Better than that. They can get a free Air Temp home cooling survey. Just turn the dial of your radio to the local station.
Like this?
Like that.
In Kansas City, Missouri, the Air Temp dealer for you to call is Carter Refrigeration at 816-444-8221. In Kansas City, Kansas, call Schuller Electric Company at area code 913-262-2969. And in Belton, Missouri, call Woodruff Heating and Cooling at 816-331-4347.
That guy really gets around, doesn't he? Keeps popping up like a cross-eyed switch hitter.
This old radio of yours has certainly brought back some great Sunday shows tonight.
Yeah. There's a lot to pick from. Sunday was always a big night on radio. Luella Parsons was on Sunday.
Oh, I remember. Hello to all of you from Hollywood.
Yeah, remember Gabriel Heater?
Oh, sure.
There's bad news tonight.
Yeah, there's a bad imitation, too.
You know, there's one comedy team that got its start on Sunday night that we haven't heard yet.
And who might that be?
The Bickersons, Don Ameche and Francis Langford.
Oh, yeah. They did start on Sunday nights, didn't they?
Yeah.
On the Edgar Bergen Show, if I recall correctly. Hey, we got Bergen on this old radio a little while earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe we can find him again. On a night when the Bickersons were on.
I'm not going to spend another night suffering through this kind of torture. I'm growing old before my time. I'm beginning to look like an old witch.
It's true, isn't it?
I wouldn't say that.
Why not, John?
I'll be awake for the rest of the night.
Then it is true.
Why don't you let me sleep? You know, I have to catch a plane at 7 in the morning.
Then why did you come home so late?
I told you 50 times my car broke down and I had to push it home.
A likely story.
Blanche, what do you want me to say?
If your car broke down, why didn't you call me?
I didn't have a dime.
You did, too. I gave you a quarter this morning.
Please, Blanche, can't you understand? I got to be in shape for my trip in the morning.
Well, all right. Have you got your plane ticket?
No, I didn't have time to pick it up. I'll get it at the airport.
What are you going to do for money?
I've got enough. There's plenty in the sugar bowl.
There's nothing in the sugar bowl.
There is, too. I looked last night.
Well, you didn't look tonight.
I'm not going to get up and look. Blanche, you didn't.
Didn't I?
You couldn't. I mean, you wouldn't take
you
that...
You really have to make this trip, John, and I was just thinking...
The money, Blanche.
Yes, well, I have an opportunity to get a sweet little hat. You can wear it with the brim up or you can turn it down. It's $50.
Turn it down.
Well, I was thinking...
Blanche, stop thinking so much. Where is my plane fare?
I haven't got it, John.
What? Oh, Blanche, don't tell me you spent it on something foolish.
No, I gave it to a bookbinder.
A bookbinder? What do we need with a bookbinder? Our book is in perfect condition.
Not that kind of a bookbinder. This man goes to the racetrack. He's a trout.
Trout? Racetrack? Oh, Blanche, did you bet that money with a bookmaker?
I was doing it for you, John. I wanted to make enough money so you could buy me a new fur coat for my birthday.
Doing it for me? How can you squander my money like that? I deny myself everything. I've been sewing collars on your old bloomers and wearing them for turtlenecks. I don't even drink my bourbon anymore. I just chew on the cork and hit myself over the head with a bottle. I never spend a penny on myself.
You bought a tie pin last week.
It wasn't a tie pin. It was a hypodermic needle. I've been sewing my gloves. You listen to me, Blanche. Things are going to be different around here. From now on, I'm going to spend the money and you can do the working.
What?
I'm going to blow every penny on myself. Buy all the things I've always longed for. New pants with zippers instead of paper clips. Real face lotion instead of fly spray. I'm even going to buy 3 silver faucets for the bathtub.
3 faucets?
Hot, cold, and bourbon.
How any man could have such a savage temper.
Have you ever asked yourself the reason why we argue so much? Why is it that an easygoing fella, a guy who would run a mile to avoid a fight, why is it that I turn into a demon every night of my life?
You've got me, John.
That's the reason. Good night, Frank.
Good night, John.
We'll get back to Fibber and Chuck in just a minute. You know, Chrysler AirTemp's 40th anniversary is more than just another happy occasion. It's the perfect time to remember how fortunate we are in this day and age. Oh, sure, I like the good old days as much as the next person. But then was then, and now is now. And while most everything else has changed radically since the good old days, at least one thing has stood the test of time. AirTemp's dedication to quality in air conditioning. And today, with AirTemp, you get the only air conditioner with Chrysler engineering. Call your nearest participating Chrysler AirTemp dealer now. He'll give you a free home cooling survey. He'll check out your air conditioning needs according to the style of your home and the size of your family. Then, he'll recommend the AirTemp system that's best for you. Your AirTemp dealer has the knowledge and experience to back up every installation. And this season, he also has something more. An AirTemp 40th anniversary gift for every homeowner who calls for a free home cooling survey. The gift is a free comedy record of the good old days of radio. It features great comedy stars and great comedy shows from original broadcasts of the 1940s and 50s. A $5.95 value, it lets you enjoy the humorous highlights of radio's golden age again and again. Remember, call your local AirTemp dealer for your free home cooling survey and your free record. And get his best price on whole house air conditioning equipment that's quiet, efficient, and dependable. Look in the yellow pages under air conditioning and choose Chrysler AirTemp with confidence.
You've been listening to Fibber McGee and the Good Old Days of Radio, brought to you by your Chrysler AirTemp dealers in Kansas City and vicinity.